Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
We're happy to bring you another Best of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch as we talk about the football history headlines for November 25th, discussing the very first homecoming game, stories about Joe Gibbs, Chris Carter, Lamar Jackson, and more with Grey Cups, and the inaugural and first broadcast of the Madden Summerall team. All this and more coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and these November 25th football history headlines are action-packed just like we've had the past few days, and let's get right at it as we start on November 25th, 1911 in Columbia, Missouri. The football game played between Missouri and Kansas is considered to be the first ever homecoming game played in football. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch covered today's festivities, stating that Coach Chester Brewer invited alumni to come home for the game, which included parades, bands, and more. The people enjoyed it so much that a tradition was born. Apparently, due to poor weather in the days leading up to the game, the administrators had 86 bales of straw placed on the field to act as a covering of sorts. The straw was removed just before the game time, and though the weather was now pleasant, the field was not so much in good condition. The game had drawn so much interest across the state that it almost had a play-by-play broadcast sent via telegraph to fans in Lawrence, Kansas. November 25th, 1911, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, the third Grey Cup was played as the Toronto Varsity Blues won their third consecutive title by defeating the Toronto Argonauts by the score of 14-7 per the CanadianFootball.fandom website. November 25th, 1944, at Civic Stadium in Hamilton, the 32nd Grey Cup was played as the St. Hyacinth Donnacona Navy team defeated the Hamilton Flying Wildcats by the score of 7-6 per the American Football Fandom site. November 25th, 1950, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, the 38th edition of the CFL Grey Cup was played per the amp.blogshop's webpage. The game is often referred to as the Mud Bowl due to the sloppy conditions of the field that day. It was the Toronto Argonauts who won, claiming the franchise's ninth title in a shutout victory over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 13-0. November 25th, 1951, at Cleveland Municipal Stadium, the Chicago Bears traveled to meet the reigning champion Cleveland Browns per the GrayFlannelSuit.com internet site. It was a record-setting day, to say the least, in a few ways. Cleveland halfback Dub Jones tied the NFL record for the most touchdowns in a game as he punched through the Bears' defense six times to find pay dirt in the Browns' 42-21 win versus the Bears. The most tired team on the field had to be the officials, though, as they threw flags and handed out penalties like it was Halloween candy. The Cleveland Browns were penalized a record 209 yards with 21 offenses, while Chicago had 16 penalties for 165 yards penalized. November 25th, 1952, in Dallas, Texas. Thanksgiving games in Dallas are not just from the current era of football. The Dallas Texans hosted one during a dismal 1952 season against a pretty good Chicago Bears team. ESPN.com has a pretty good story on the game that states just before the game, instead of normal warm-ups and such, that the Texans players went up into the stands thanking the Patriots for coming to the game. Up to that point, the Texans team had not smelled victory for the entire season. The air was so chilly that day that the players had to set up burn barrels on each end of the bench to keep their hands warm. They always say, don't count the home team out in a Thanksgiving Day battle, and that may have started in this very game, because the only win ever for the NFL's Dallas Texans was on this day when they beat the Bears 27-23 in an upset. November 25th, 1971 in New York City, the 37th Heisman Trophy was awarded to Auburn's quarterback Pat Sullivan. According to the website Heisman.com, this was an unbelievably Auburn University's first player to ever receive the prestigious award that normally goes to the nation's top college player. Remember, Coach John Heisman spent time coaching the Tigers during his illustrious career, and the trophy was named for him. Sullivan led the nation with 2,856 yards of total offense as a junior, but in 1971, his senior season was special too, for his 2,012 passing yards and 20 touchdowns is what gave him the edge, as Cornell's outstanding running back Ed Marinaro was a close second. November 25th, 1973, at CNE Stadium in Vancouver, the 61st CFL Grey Cup was played as the Ottawa Rough Riders earned their eighth championship by defeating the Edmonton Eskimos by the score of 22-18 per the CBC.ca website. Charlie Brandon was the most valuable player and Gary Lafarber was the most valuable Canadian. November 25th, 1976, the Buffalo Bills running back O.J. Simpson rushed for 276 yards against the Detroit Lions. The BuffaloNews.com story gives all the action in the game, and from it we gather that Simpson's 273 yards came on 29 carries during this Thanksgiving Day game against the Detroit Lions. The Juice also broke one of Jim Brown's NFL records by rushing for a fifth game of 200 yards or more during his career. The yardage wasn't enough, though, for the Bills as Detroit rolled in a 27-14 win in this contest. November 25th, 1979, at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, the CFL's 67th Grey Cup game was played, as told by the New York Times. The New York Eskimos retained the CFL championship by knocking off the Montreal Alouettes 17-9. The MVP of the game was running back David Green, and the most valuable Canadian was awarded to Tom Cousineau. Interesting tidbit, David Green went to your presenter, yes, Darren Hayes' alma mater, Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania, which I guess back then was still called Edinburgh State College for David Green. November 25th, 1979, it was the first time that the broadcast team of John Madden and Pat Summerall were in the same booth together on a game in what became 22 years of their great announcing together per the ClassicTVSports.com website. November 25th, 1988, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, the 53rd Iron Bowl was played, and it was the Auburn Tigers claiming victory over the Alabama Crimson Tide by the close score of 15-10 per the OnThisDay.com website. November 25th, 1989, at the Orange Bowl in Miami, Florida, the Miami Hurricanes ended Notre Dame's all-time longest winning streak of 23 games by defeating the Irish 27-10 per the IrishLegends.com website. November 25th, 1990, at BC Place in Vancouver, the 78th Grey Cup to determine the champion of the CFL was played. The Edmonton Eskimos and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were matched up to play for the cup that year. It was the Blue Bombers who came out on top in a wide margin of 50-11 on the scoreboard. The offensive most valuable player of the game was Tom Burgess, while Greg Battle was a defensive MVP of the game. The most valuable Canadian in the game was Warren Hudson. November 25th, 2001, at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, the 89th battle for the Grey Cup was played. It was the Calgary Stampeders who took home their fifth championship in team history as they outlasted the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 27-19. Marcus Crandall was the game's MVP, and Aldie Henry took home the Most Valuable Canadian award. November 25th, 2007, at the Rogers Centre in Toronto, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders won their third title in the 95th edition of the Grey Cup Championship game of the CFL per the Grey Cup's website. The Rough Riders squeaked past the Winnipeg Blue Bombers by the score of 23-19 in the game. Defensive back James Johnson sealed the deal with a victory for Saskatchewan as he picked off a Bomber's path with a mere 54 seconds remaining on the clock. Rough Riders receiver Andy Fanitz was named the game's most outstanding Canadian. The most valuable player was handed that James Johnson, not just for his interception at the end of the game, but also for his two other picks, which set a Grey Cup record by one player. Exactly 5 years to the day on November 25th, 2012, at the Rogers Centre in Toronto again, per the National Post story, it was the Toronto Argonauts overcoming the Calgary Stampeders by the final score of 35-22 in the 100th quest for the Grey Cup. The Argos owner, David Braley, established himself in the record books by being the first person in ownership to win back-to-back Grey Cups with two different teams, as he held the deed on the 2011 champion BC Lions franchise. Boatman running back Chad Kackert earned the MVP award after posting almost 200 yards of total offense. November 25th, 2018, at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, Alberta, the Calgary Stampeders outscored the Ottawa Redblacks 27-16 to claim the CFL championship game in this 106th playing of the Grey Cup. It was the Calgary franchise's 8th Cup victory. Stampeder Terry Williams scores a record 97-yard punt return just before halftime to highlight the scoring for the game. The third time was truly the charm for the Calgary squad, as they had lost the two previous Grey Cup games. That same day, November 25th, 2018, Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers set an NFL single-game record by completing 25 straight passes in a 45-10 win versus the Arizona Cardinals. Mark Brunell and David Carr previously shared the record at 22. And it also, Philip Rivers set an NFL record for the best single-game completion percentage with 96.6% of his passes completed. Unbelievable stat there by young Mr. Rivers. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
And you talk about record breakers. Well, how about this one? November 25th, 2019, quarterback Lamar Jackson, in just his second season in the league, became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 3,000 passing yards and rush for 1,500 yards in his first two NFL seasons. The record was recorded as his Baltimore Ravens flexed their muscles against the LA Rams with a 45-6 blowout. All right, now it's time to talk about some Hall of Famers on the dates of their birth. And we'll start off on November 25th, 1904 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Oregon standout halfback Johnny Kitzmiller came into this world. According to footballfoundation.org, Kitzmiller had an interesting nickname for the gridiron, as he is often referred to as the Flying Dutchman. The National Football Foundation voted Johnny Kitzmiller into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1969. Johnny played one season in the NFL with the New York Giants franchise. November 25th, 1933, in Reading, Pennsylvania, Lenny Moore, the great running back from Penn State, was born. Lenny was a first-round pick in the 1956 NFL draft by the Baltimore Colts. In the 1958 season, Lenny scored 14 touchdowns and had 1,638 total offensive yards, and 938 of those were on pass receptions. The Colts won the NFL championship game that year, and they probably would not have done it without the help of Lenny Moore. He was a five-time All-Pro, and he also played in seven Pro Bowls during his 12-year career. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Lenny Moore in the year 1975. November 25th, 1940, in Mocksville, North Carolina, Joe Gibbs had a remarkable coaching career. In his 12 seasons with the Washington Redskins, his teams won 10 or more games 8 times, and he also took home 3 Lombardi trophies with a different starting quarterback in each one. A Gibbs-led team made it to a 4th Super Bowl, but lost to the Raiders, per the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website. The Pro Football Hall of Fame inducted Joe Gibbs into their hall in the year 1996. November 25th, 1945, in Anderson, South Carolina, George Webster, the fine linebacker for Michigan State University, was born. According to his bio on the NFF's website, Webster was twice an All-American selection. He was a powerful tackler, and as his coach at Michigan State, Duffy Daugherty, said of George, "He doesn't tackle people, he explodes them." Michigan State appreciated George so much that his jersey number became the second in school history to be retired. The National Football Foundation voted George Webster into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1987. When his schooling was completed, George was a top draft pick of the Houston Oilers. Webster was the AFC Rookie of the Year that season. Then he played 5 years with Houston, and then a couple with the Steelers, and three more with the New England Patriots in the NFL. November 25th, 1965, Chris Carter, the standout wide receiver from Ohio State University, was born. When a wideout plays in the NFL for 16 seasons, you know they're a superior athlete. When you have an athlete that's played 13 complete 16-game schedules and puts up the number that Carter did in his 16 seasons, you have a true Hall of Famer. Carter amassed 1,101 catches and 130 TDs in his career. He had 10 seasons where he caught at least 70 balls and added 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons when he played for the Vikings. Carter played in 8 Pro Bowls and was on the all-decade team of the 1990s. Chris was picked at the 1987 supplemental draft by the Philadelphia Eagles, and then he joined the Minnesota Vikings in 1990. He played most of his career as a Viking and then retired. He did come out of retirement in 2002 to play 5 games with the Miami Dolphins, who had many receivers injured that season. The Pro Football Hall of Fame placed Chris Carter in their gold jacket club in the year 2013. When we said we had a lot of information on football history for November 25th, we weren't kidding you. And as you see in tomorrow's November 26th edition of the Football History Headlines, you'll find even more as we talk about Roger the Dodger and the Juice, each awarded the Heisman on that day, and Joe Willie leaves his mark on the Iron Bowl, as well as many more Grey Cup championships are crowned, as we talk about it on the Football History Headlines for November 26th. So make sure you subscribe on this embed player. Tune into PigskinDispatch.com or the Sports History Network, where you'll find lots of other great sports history podcasts on football and other sports on your headquarters of yesteryear, the Sports History Network, at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on your email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.